Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Tuesday, January 20th, 2026.
Yeah.
If you have been following the tech headlines this week, you probably felt the ground shift a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
We are witnessing what feels like a massive philosophical split in how the internet is going to work for, well, for the next decade.
It really is a fork in the road moment. I mean, you've got two giants, Google and OpenAI, and they're taking just diametrically opposite approaches to the one thing that has funded the web for 30 years, advertising.
And the roles are completely reversed. That's the hook for me.
Right.
You have Google, the company that, I mean, they practically invented the modern digital ad economy, the absolute king of ads. And they're coming out and saying, no, we aren't putting ads on our AI.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have OpenAI, the startup that began as this, you know, idealistic nonprofit research lab saying, yes, we are rolling out an ad model.
It feels like a glitch in the matrix, doesn't it? But when you really dig into the sources we have today, and we've got transcripts from the World Economic Forum in Davos, some really interesting analysis from Technogean, it actually starts to make perfect strategic sense.
Okay.
This isn't just about banner ads. It's about the unit economics of intelligence and who controls the trust economy.
So that's our mission today. We aren't just looking at where the ads are appearing. We need to figure out why this is happening now, what it means for the sustainability of these tools, and honestly, whether we should trust an AI that's trying to sell us something.
Exactly. We need to look at the mechanics, the money, and the mindset.
Let's start at the scene of the crime, so to speak. Davos, Switzerland.
Right. World Economic Forum. Dimas Hassabis, the CEO of Google DeepMind, he takes the stage.
And he's usually pretty reserved, right?
Yeah.
Very focused on the science.
Very. But he made a very deliberate, I'd say very strategic, declaration about Gemini, which is Google's AI model. He stated firmly that Google has no immediate intentions of placing advertisements within Gemini.
Which is just fascinating because technically, Google could flip that switch tomorrow.
Oh, instantly.
They have the advertisers, they have the bidding engine, the data. I mean, it'd be the easiest money they ever made.
Absolutely. But he didn't stop there. He contrasted this directly with OpenAI, who had, you know, just started testing ad formats in the US. And Hassabis made this really sharp observation. He said that OpenAI introducing ads so early.
So early. I love the shade there.
Yeah, right. He said it suggests they are under, well, significant pressure to increase revenue streams.
It's a very polite corporate way of saying they're desperate for cash and we aren't.
It is. But it also highlights the difference in their foundations.
Yeah.
We have to remember, Google is a diversified empire. Search, cloud, YouTube, these are cash cows that generate billions.
Right.
So Google can't afford to treat Gemini as a loss leader. They can just burn money on AI to protect their market share.
Whereas OpenAI is, at the end of the day, still a startup. A massive one, sure, but a startup. They have to pay their own rent.
Precisely. They don't have a YouTube to subsidize their server costs. So when Hassabis points this out, he's signaling to the market, we have the luxury of patience. They don't.
And that patience, that lets Google take the high road on user experience.
Exactly.
It positions Gemini as the premium product just by being unpolluted.
That's the irony you mentioned. The ad giant becomes the sanctuary from ads. They are betting that if they keep the interface clean, you'll stay in the Google ecosystem. And once you're there, you'll use Google Search, you'll use Android, you'll use their other products where they do make money.
So Gemini's the loss leader to keep you in the store. Meanwhile, OpenAI is trying to figure out how to charge you for walking in the door.
That is a very, very apt way to put it.
Okay, let's pivot to OpenAI because if you're a daily user of ChatGPT, this is moving from theory to reality. They've launched this testing phase in the U.S. What does this actually, you know, look like? Are we talking about pop-up videos interrupting my coding session?
Thankfully, no. It's much more integrated than that. The sources are describing the format as contextual advertising.
Okay.
So these ads, they appear at the bottom of the chat interface, specifically after the AI has generated a response.
Contextual is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. That implies the AI is analyzing my conversation to pick the ad.
It is. It's semantic matching. So if you're asking ChatGPT for, say, a lasagna recipe, the ad at the bottom might be for a specific brand of pasta sauce or maybe a grocery delivery service.
Right. Or if you're asking for hiking trails, you might get a link to REI or North Face.
Exactly.
Okay. That sounds fairly standard for the internet. But here's the kicker that stood out to me in the reports. It's not just the free users seeing this.
No, and this is the controversial part. The test includes users on the Go subscription tier.
Which costs about, what, $8 a month?
Correct. $8 a month.
I have to pause on that. We've been trained by Netflix and Spotify that subscription equals no ads. If I'm paying $8, why am I still the product?
That's the friction point. It blurs the line between freemium and paid. OpenAI seems to be adopting more of a Hulu model or maybe the basic Netflix ad tier model. They're saying $8 gets you better access, faster speeds, fewer limits, but it doesn't buy you out of commercial messaging.
So if I want a completely clean experience, I have to go higher.
Yes. You need to be on the plus, pro, business, or enterprise tiers. Mm. Those remain ad-free sanctuaries. The Go tier is essentially a hybrid.
It's interesting because it feels like they are testing price elasticity, like how much annoyance will you tolerate for a lower price point?
That's it. And transparency is their main defense here. They are making these ads dismissible, and they're including a feedback mechanism. You can actually click to see why a specific ad was shown to you.
Oh, interesting.
They are trying to train the user to see the ad as helpful content rather than intrusion.
Now, what about the scary stuff? We use these bots for everything now. I might ask about a recipe, but five minutes later, I might ask, you know, why do I feel so anxious? Or who should I vote for in the local election?
Yeah.
Am I going to get ads for calming tea and city council candidates?
That's the number one concern regarding safety. And OpenAI anticipated this. They've built in specific guardrails. The system is designed not to serve ads on sensitive topics.
Okay, like what?
Specifically, health issues, mental health concerns, and politics.
That seems technically difficult to police, though. Context is slippery. If I say I'm stressed about my debt, is that a mental health conversation or is it a financial conversation where a debt consolidation ad would be considered relevant?
That is the million-dollar question. The line between helpful solution and predatory targeting is very, very thin in an LLM context. OpenAI promises transparency. They let you click to see why an ad was shown and give feedback. But relying on an automated system to distinguish between clinical anxiety and general stress, that's a massive technical challenge.
And relying on an algorithm to be a moral arbiter of what counts as sensitive is a gamble.
It is. And remember, advertisers want to be in those gray areas. The moment of stress about debt is a high-intent moment for a financial service. Balancing that revenue potential against user trust is going to be the tightrope OpenAI walks all year.
This brings us back to the money. Why risk this user backlash? We mentioned Hassab has said they are under pressure. Is running an AI really so expensive that subscriptions aren't enough?
It is astronomically expensive. We have to look at the difference between a search and an inference. When you Google something, it's basically an index lookup. It's fast, cheap, and efficient.
Like looking up a card in a library catalog.
Exactly. But asking ChatGPT a question is like hiring a ghostwriter to write a fresh paragraph for you from scratch.
Right.
It requires massive computational power, GPUs running hot, electricity burning for every single word that it generates.
So the marginal cost of a user is much higher.
Oh, orders of magnitude higher. The $8 from the Go users might cover the electricity, but it doesn't necessarily cover the R&D, the staff, the infrastructure expansion. OpenAI needs to diversify.
Yeah.
They can't just rely on subscriptions because there is a ceiling to how many people will pay $20 a month.
But Ads scale infinitely.
Right. And there's an access argument here, too. OpenAI argues that ad revenue lets them keep the free tier generous. If they didn't have ads, they might have to severely throttle the free version, make it dumber, slower, or limit you to 5 messages a day.
So the ads are the tax we pay to keep the supercomputer accessible to the public.
That's their pitch. Give us your attention for a split second, and we give you world-class intelligence for free.
And meanwhile, Google is playing the long game. They are looking at what you might call cognitive real estate.
That's a great term for it. Google sees a clean, uninterrupted interface as a moat, a defensive barrier.
Mm-hmm.
They know that power users, developers, writers, researchers, they hate distractions. So if Gemini is the quiet library and ChatGPT is the noisy marketplace, Google wins the serious users.
It's almost a luxury branding play. Ad-free is the new pro.
And Google can afford to cross-subsidize. They take the profit from a click on a shoe ad in Google search, and they use it to pay for the server time on Gemini.
They're moving money from one pocket to the other.
Yeah, to starve out the competition.
It's a fascinating strategy. But I want to dig deeper into the user psychology here. You mentioned earlier the trust economy.
This is the psychological shift we really need to talk about. Until now, an AI chatbot has felt like a neutral tool.
Yeah, a creative partner, maybe.
Exactly. It feels private.
Yeah.
It feels objective. It's just you and the machine solving a problem.
Right. If I use a hammer, I don't expect the hammer to recommend a specific brand of nail.
Precisely. But when you introduce ads, you fundamentally change the incentives of the platform. The platform is no longer just optimizing for correctness. It's also optimizing for engagement and conversion.
So even if OpenAI says, and I know they have explicitly stated this, that the ads are separate from the answers and won't influence the content.
The seed of doubt is planted.
Totally.
Yeah.
If I ask, what is the best running shoe for flat feet? And the AI gives me a recommendation, and right below it is a coupon for Nike. I'm going to wonder, did it recommend Nike because it's the best or because the ad algorithm bled into the training data?
That's the native advertising fear. And remember, these ads are high intent. In traditional advertising, you see a billboard when you're driving. You ignore it.
Sure.
But when you ask an AI a question, you are actively seeking a solution. You are, you know, vulnerable to suggestion.
That makes the ad real estate incredibly valuable.
It's gold. If I tell you how to fix a leak and I hand you a wrench at the same time, you're going to buy the wrench. That's why OpenAI wants this market. But it risks turning the AI from a research assistant into a shopping assistant.
And that's the slippery slope. Once the AI becomes a shopping assistant, does the quality of its critical thinking degrade? Does it stop showing me the cheap DIY solution because the expensive product solution pays better?
That is the fear. And Google is betting that users will sense that conflict of interest and run toward the pure tool Gemini. Even though, paradoxically, Google tracks you across the rest of the web to fund that purity.
So we have the user perspective, but what about the business world?
Yeah.
We have a lot of listeners who manage teams or run IT departments. This split must be a nightmare for them.
It is huge. I was reading an analysis from Technogene about this specific landscape, and they point out that for enterprises, this isn't just about annoyance, it's about security and compliance.
How so?
Well, think about shadow IT. You have employees using the free version of ChatGPT to write emails or debug code because it's easy.
Okay.
Now you introduce an ad network into that loop.
Suddenly there is third-party tracking involved.
Exactly. Technogene notes that this adds a layer of data complexity. If an ad is served, data is being exchanged. For a company dealing with proprietary data or, say, IPSA compliance, having employees use an ad-supported model is a massive risk.
So businesses can't just say, use whatever AI you want anymore.
No. Technogene argues that companies like theirs are becoming essential navigators. Business leaders have to make a hard choice. Do we block these tools? Do we pay for the enterprise licenses to ensure privacy?
It sounds like the bring-your-own-device era, but for intelligence.
It is. Technogene's whole point is that you need a strategy. You need to define the guardrails. You can't let your marketing team's internal brainstorming session potentially feed an ad algorithm that your competitors could bid on.
That's a terrifying thought. My internal strategy meeting triggers an ad targeting my competitor.
It's the worst-case scenario. So the market is going to fracture. Consumers might accept the ads for convenience, but businesses are going to have to wall themselves off in the paid private premium tiers.
And Technogene is suggesting that companies need external help to map this out.
Yes, because it's not just a tech purchase anymore. It's a policy decision. Technogene specifically highlights the need for strategy consulting to help businesses navigate these ad-supported versus premium models, especially around privacy and data security. You need someone to audit the data flow.
So we are looking at a future where ad-free isn't just a luxury. It's a security clearance.
That's a very sharp way to look at it.
So let's wrap this up. We are standing at the fork in the road. On the left, we have OpenAI and the ad-supported utility. It promises broad access. It keeps the lights on for the free users, but it introduces that commercial creep into our conversations.
And on the right, we have Google and the premium subsidized experience. No ads, just the AI, but paid for by the massive profits of the Google search empire. A clean room, but, you know, one owned by the world's biggest data collector.
Pick your poison, essentially.
Or pick your priority. Do you value your money more or your attention?
It's going to be a wild year watching this play out. Mm. I'm personally very curious to see if the Go users, those paying $8, revolt. If OpenAI can successfully charge a subscription and show ads, they've rewritten the rules of the internet economy.
If they pull that off, every SaaS company in the valley will try to copy it. If they fail, they'll have to walk it back very, very quickly.
Before we go, I want to leave the listener with a thought. We've talked about ads versus no ads, but let's look a little further down the road.
Here comes the headache.
You know it. We are moving toward a world where we don't just use AI, we think with it. It helps us decide what to write, where to go, how to argue a point, how to raise our kids. It is becoming an extension of our cognitive process.
A cognitive prosthesis, essentially.
Right. So if that prosthesis is ad-supported, if the screen you think with is for sale, who actually owns your thoughts?
That is a chilling question. Are we willing to let commercial interests sit right in the middle of our neural pathways?
Or will clear thinking become the ultimate luxury good of the future, something you have to pay a premium for, just to keep the brands out of your brain?
I think that's the battle of the next decade.
Something to mull over while you ask your chatbot for dinner ideas tonight. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll be watching this space closely and likely paying for the privilege. Catch you on the next one.
Stay curious.